Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Cat lovers and feline friends, it's time for Adele Park's Quirky Catnips.
Today on the Quirky Catnips podcast, we're airing a chapter of Quirky Cat Gets Ghosted, which we will do until the entire audiobook has been broadcasted. We invite all you kitties to kick back now, relax, and enjoy Quirky Cat Gets Ghosted by Adele Park.
Audio Recording St. George presents Quirky Cat Gets Ghosted. Written, produced, and edited by Adele Park. Narrated by a full cast.
A directive from Gertrude Fletcher, head of the Naval Utah Department of Motor Vehicles. Part 14.
It's curious how people fail to see what is right before their very eyes. They walk around with filters over their consciousness, blocking out that which should be obvious. Operating on autopilot is a dangerous way to behave, especially if you're behind the wheel of a 2-ton vehicle. Really, the Department of Motor Vehicles should be more discriminate in who they issue licenses to. Despite his inabilities to see a ghost who is in his house every day, Brandon Spinkle has a new awareness. Brandon stumbled upon the ghost of Delphina Fletcher on the bridge at Juniper Hollow, even though he didn't know what he was looking at. My husband Boyd is also unaware his mother is scaring people to death, understanding only that something isn't quite right. During our marriage, Boyd's obsession with Juniper Hollow began to rub off on me. We both had our reasons to sift through the rubble of that sad and sinister place. At the end of the day, they amounted to the same thing. Heinous crimes were committed on this property. Boyd was looking for justice. I suppose, in a way, I was too. We just had different motives. I am a woman of duty. Even in death, I take pride in running an efficient operation, although technically retired from the occupation I had before I moved to Utah, I continued to be vigilant in my observations. Unbeknownst to Boyd, I was fully briefed on the situation at Juniper Hollow. Having worked for the organization which essentially helped the Fletchers fall to ruin, I knew far more than I let on. Although I was retired from Double Deuces, I felt the heavy weight of the mob activities that marred the otherwise pristine Christian landscape of Naval Utah. Boyd no longer cried over the financial spilt milk of the past. He was looking to clear the name of his mother, Delphina. He was haunted by her memory, both figuratively and mentally. With Brandon Spinkle's revived interest in Juniper Hollow, sparked by the recent discovery of the photo showing Delphina's apparition on the bridge, perhaps Boyd can get the peace he seeks. But no one, Boyd, Brandon, or Blue McKenna, is going to receive this until Delphina gets her moment of reckoning. Next!
In case you haven't noticed, you've been ghosted.
Chapter 14. Brandon Spinkle.
I finally get how people can be paralyzed with fear. Someone was yelling their head off. Taj. I might have been yelling too. I don't know. Time gets warped when your worst nightmare is coming to life. Our entire marijuana site was torched. In that moment, however, it wasn't financial ruin that had my knees knocking. It was that fucking ghost thing that told us to get out. By then, the yelling was all over, so I heard the voice clearly. It was Blue, only she was green and you could see through her. This wasn't a flat image or cloud of smoke. This was three-dimensional, Freddy Krueger, piss your pants, real. The question now was, who burned down our crop? Dad got home just a few minutes after we did. He had Rudy with him, which made me think maybe he really did go to some doctor deal in Naval. Dad wasn't off the list of suspects. He just didn't occupy the top two spots. Those were reserved for Taj's ex-boyfriend, a guy I call Brucifer, and Moon McKenna. I can understand why Moon would have gone all pyro, but why would Bruce? If he drove all the way from Vegas and somehow managed to find the Oasis, why would he set the damn thing on fire? Revenge didn't seem likely. He'd given Taj the old heave-ho a long time ago and was busy jacking off with some other guy. I don't have to be at the Banner until later in the morning, which gave me time to drive out to the Oasis after everyone else had left for the pool. Rudy and Dad are taking a swim class taught by Taj, which is hilarious because he has to call my dad Dr. Spinkle. I get to call his dad Tom no matter where we are. I took the roundabout way going to the Oasis, careful not to drive by Gecko's Gulch. It was quiet when I got there, nothing but the sound of crickets and a few birds. It still felt sinister as hell, like the whole place had been cursed. Even Skitters seemed a little buggy. Not enough to stay in the Jeep, but he didn't saunter through the place like he normally would. Depression set in as I saw the charred remains of what once was a thriving business. No sign of the creepy Cruella thing we saw last night, thank God. If there really were crosses staked in the ground, they were gone now. The only thing ensnared in the blackened bushes were a few stubborn leaves, dangling like burnt bats. I started getting pissed about the whole thing, sure that Moon and maybe even Dad were screwing with us. Of course, there wasn't a damn thing we could do about it. It about killed me to be all lo-de-do, everything's just hunky-dory during breakfast this morning. Frustrated, I kicked a burnt log. It burst open with a satisfying crack. Then the stink seeped out. Cripes. That fucking green mist was back. This time, I didn't waste my breath screaming. Bolting back the way I'd come, I tripped a couple of times scrambling to get away from that gaseous gangrene mist. Yowzers! How can anything smell so bad? Skitters jumped in the Jeep at the same time as me, making me thump my head on the roof in surprise. I'd forgotten all about Skitters when I beat feet out of the Oasis. Whatever is in there isn't natural. Taj was right. It wasn't worth it to try and grow ganja there anymore. I would have been on my own anyway, since Taj is now scared straight. It's possible Dad has rifled through our stuff at Legacy Grove. He didn't find anything. The pound or so of weed we had left was still vacuum sealed and snuggled safely in some frozen food boxes in the packing shed refrigerator. Taj never kept any pipes in the house. He had some stuff stashed by his spliff sofa, which is just a glorified rock Taj sits on while he's getting blitzed. I'm sure it's gone by now. Taj isn't saying much these days. Between almost getting busted for growing weed and a little misunderstanding I have with Danica, he's icing me out. Okay, maybe I've been a little flirty with a contact for the Naval Weekly Banner. There's a girl in town, Mandy Tillins, who qualified for the National Extreme Sports Championship in skimboarding. I've been spending a lot of time down at Cinnamon Sands watching her practice. It's a great gig, especially since Mandy has the legs of a goddess. No kidding. I'll bet her inseam is 40 inches. Watching her pull off a perfect pop shove it in that lime green bikini gives me solid wood for a week. I'm surprised Mandy's mom lets her out of the house in that thing. Maybe she doesn't know about it. Lots of girls change outfits before they go home at night. Don't get me wrong. Danica looks amazing in a swimming suit, only hers is a red one-piece with a white cross on the front. Cute, but not wood-inducing. Danica should be more understanding. As a member of the press, I have to cover all kinds of news, including stuff that involves foxy babes like Mandy. Taj says that I'm a man whore. Whatever. At least I get some. The tributaries of the Stratton River are super shallow in places, creating perfect conditions for skimboarding. There's a big competition happening at Cinnamon Sands on Saturday. Knowing I'd be out there all day doing interviews and taking pics, I got my boss at the Banner to let me have Friday off. Needing the money, I wanted to unload the rest of our weed before Dad finds it. The problem was, who could we sell it to? Kaylee Fitzsimmons was out. She'd rather slice me like a sandwich than buy what is undoubtedly the best ganja she's ever smoked. Sludge, our buddy from school, is at football camp. As much as Taj hated to do it, I got him to text his ex, Brucifer. Satan that he is. Brucifer said sure, but we had to front it to him. No chance. I trust that asshole about as far as I can bench press him. That left Remy Sammy Sota, a limo driver at Diamonds in the Desert Casino. Technically, this could be a tough sale. I think Remy's parting words to us last time we called on him had something to do with beating the crap out of us or calling the cops. I knew he wouldn't do either one, but it was obvious he wanted us out of sight. Now we were having a literal fire sale. Would Remy take the bait? We were prepared to offer the deal of a lifetime. I woke up early Friday morning. I was too nervous to sleep, but didn't go in the house, knowing that might make Dad suspicious. Usually I'm not up until a few minutes before I have to leave for the Banner. With nothing to do, I took a shower, even though I had showered the night before. I tried working on my skimboarding story, only to get an extreme chubby brought on by visions of Mandy's lime green bikini. I spent some quality time doing the old five-knuckle chuckle. When 11 a.m. finally rolled around, Skitters and I headed west to the City of Sin. Destination, Diamonds in the Desert Casino.
Hang tight, kiddies. We'll be back in a scratch. In the mood for a killer audiobook? Quirky Killers by Adele Park is the story of a serial bride who sends her husbands to heaven in a hurry. Too bad the cops don't see the humor in this and arrest this woman who is just trying to make sure everyone gets to meet God. Quirky Killers. Get it today on audible.com. You'll die laughing.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Remy works at night, so I was pretty sure he'd be around. Diamonds in the Desert has a tower on its property for employee housing. Remy didn't answer when I knocked. Shit. What was I going to do? I knocked again, startled when a gruffy voice asked,
"Who the fuck is it?"
Answering that question seemed like a bad idea. I stood where I was, waiting for Remy to open the door. When he saw it was me, he tried to close it again, but by then, Skitters had dashed into the apartment. Good kitty. Too bad I had left Skitters home last time I was in Vegas and hightailed it out of town butt naked. Skitters has an uncanny way of knowing when to step in. It's like he can understand what humans are saying. I was stoked to see my faithful four-legged companion was laying it on Remy, rubbing against his ankles and purring so loud I could hear him across the room. Remy must like cats because he actually picked Skitters up even though he weighs as much as a barrel of lead paint. Skitters isn't normally a cuddle-me-close kind of kitty, but he seemed to be enjoying his purr session with Remy. Keep it up, kitty. When this is over, there's a number 5 from Holy Cow Hamburgers with your name on it. I've got an offer you can't refuse, I said. Wow, talk about a stupid sales pitch. Before Remy could object, I continued with, I've got a pound of Agent Orange you can have for $1,000. This time, Remy actually laughed. What was so funny? It was worth way more than that, even at the legal dispensary in Boulder, Colorado, where Dad's drug dealer works. Fortunately, Remy looked hungover. Here, I said, handing him a spliff Taj rolled for this very purpose. Then, Remy did the unthinkable. He left the room with Skitters still in his arms. Oh my God, was he catnapping Skitters? How was I going to explain this to Moon's twins? He was still their cat. I was just looking after him for the summer. My heart was slamming against my chest, reminding me of that joke about acute angina that Taj likes to tell. Yeah, like he'd really appreciate acute angina. There must have been a battery-operated clock somewhere in the apartment because I could hear slow and steady ticks. Like the damn thing was counting off the seconds of my life. Or maybe Skitters. Should I run for it? What about leaving no cat behind? I wasn't in the army, but I did have some sense of decency. Remy came back in the room before I had a chance to do anything. He was carrying a giant bong. The water was so filthy it could qualify as a hazardous substance. I took it as a sign Remy likes his reefer. Two tokes was all it took to close the deal. It wasn't a good one. Remy haggled me down to $500 for the whole lot. What a ripoff. By now, Skitters was back in the room, so at least I wouldn't have to explain what happened to him. Can you at least buy me some vodka? I still hadn't replaced the bottle of Grey Goose I swiped from Dad's liquor cabinet. Dad was a space cadet for sure these days, but he knows his liquor cabinet the way some people know the back of their hand. Remy let out another condescending laugh. Afraid he would kick me out, I said, "Come on, Remy! There's a liquor store right in the casino! I'll get you a bottle, too!" I really didn't want to do that, especially since everything in there is obscenely overpriced. With a little assistance from Skitters, who was now sitting in Remy's lap enjoying a secondhand bong hit, I finally coaxed him into buying two bottles of Grey Goose for me and a bottle of gin for him. It was a five-finger filch for sure. Those three items set me back $149. Taj was going to lose his nugget, even though he created this whole mess by daring me to swipe the vodka from Dad's liquor cabinet. I know now Blue was in our house when we grabbed the Grey Goose last fall. For a long time, I thought it was just paranoia brought on by stress. That little jigaboo in the Oasis the other night wiped out all doubt. Blue may be dead, but she's not gone. I dreaded the thought of having to go to our house alone to replace the bottle of vodka. At least it would be during the day. I parked my Jeep a block away, worried that if Taj's dad was in town, he might see me. I entered through the backyard, scaling the fence. This time, I used my key to get in. The house felt like an ancient ruin, not just because no one had been in it for a while. It was like the whole place was sad. Not wanting to waste time, I headed straight for the liquor cabinet, replacing the Grey Goose in what I hoped was its original spot. I was just about to take a quick leak in the downstairs bathroom when the smell rolled in like a blast of butt queef. I should be used to this by now, but I'm not. What do you want? I screamed this question so loud, I'm sure Remy heard me at Diamonds in the Desert. I was so scared, it actually made me angry. That's when I heard it, loud and clear.
Please, help me.
That was my cue to act like a banana and split. But I didn't. I'd put Skitters in danger twice just during the last 24 hours. I couldn't leave him here, not with that stinkeroo. Skitters couldn't stand Blue when she was alive. Now he was flailing around, trying to spray splooge on the vapor, even though it was already fading. It was like Blue used all her juice on those two words. Scooping him up, I made for the door. Skitters weighs a ton. Dropping him on the grass in the yard, I made sure the back door was locked. Okay, that was done, but what was I supposed to do about Blue? I couldn't just let her slink around, smelling up the place until the end of time. No way I could talk to Dad, especially since I wasn't supposed to be in Vegas. I couldn't cop to seeing Blue in the Oasis either because of the whole ganja thing. What about Moon? I still don't know if she murdered our marijuana plants, although I could count on Moon not to blab most of the stuff I tell her. I remember last summer hearing Moon talk about being haunted by her dad. I'm sure half those stories were just meant to scare me out of the Oasis. Still, forgetting about the number fives from Holy Cow I promised Skitters, I drove straight to Gecko's Gulch. Fridays were Moon's night to make dinner, which meant she got takeout and brought it back to her place. I didn't care what it was, I just didn't want to talk to anyone from town. I had replayed that tetchy scene with Blue all the way home from Vegas. I could hear music coming from the patio when I parked in front of the adobe wall surrounding Gecko's Gulch. The wrought iron gate creaked when I opened it, but no one was around to hear it. Dad was definitely on site. His SUV was outside, and I could see two wine glasses and an empty bottle on the table by the pool. Walking across the courtyard, I wondered what was for supper. Suddenly, I was starving, which meant Skitters was probably in his last stages of life. We have an open door thing with family members. I actually lived at Gecko's Gulch last summer, which is why I didn't bother knocking. Most of the lights were off. Where was everybody? Gecko's Gulch is laid out in a perfect square, with the middle hollowed out for the courtyard and pool. A nightlight was on in the hallway going to the ginormous room shared by Moon and Randall. Passing by the twins' bedroom on the way, I peeked in, seeing Rudy fast asleep in a crib that must have been moved in there since the last time I looked. Not wanting to wake the little tyke and possibly having to change a shitty diaper, I quietly backed out. I could hear some grunting noises happening further down the hall. I started to get a bad feeling about this. A really bad feeling. For a second, I thought about just leaving. I didn't. I had to know what that sound was, even though by this time I was pretty sure what it was. I tiptoed along for the next couple steps. The door to Moon's bedroom was open. I could tell just from the nightlight in the hall there were two people on the bed, pulling off a little horizontal mamba jamba. Even more disgusting, they didn't know I was there, so they kept at it. It was almost as disturbing as that nasty green gas. Slinking back down the hall, I wondered what I should do next. In the short walk to my truck, I went from being horrified to full-on torqued. What in the fuck was Dad thinking? I needed him to know slipping the old ham bone to Blue's twin was not okay. I don't care how freaking sad he is. Fired up with anger, I gunned the Jeep several times, making sure they could hear me over all the music and moaning. Just for good measure, I did a giant donut spin around Gecko's Gulch in the Jeep. That ought to wilt Dad's heat-seeking moisture missile. Breakfast in the house the next morning was unavoidable. Now that Dad has smoked us out of our business, I couldn't afford Holy Cow hamburgers. At this point, I was sure Dad was involved with torching the Oasis. He was literally in bed with Moon on this. Jerk. I was up early because of the skimboarding thing happening at Cinnamon Sands. Normally, Dad sleeps in on Saturdays, but there he was, waiting for me at the kitchen table. The second he opened his mouth to try and talk to me about that skeevy scene with Moon, I held up my hand and just said, no. I fixed myself a huge bowl of cereal and went back to the shed to eat it. A few minutes later, Taj actually graced me with his holy presence. What do you want? I asked, still irritated over the thing with my dad. Money. Of course, Taj wanted money. Boy, was he scorched when all he got was $175. If you were so concerned, Taj, you should have made the deal yourself, I said. I didn't even charge you for gas. Instead of being grateful I picked up the tab on the trip to Las Vegas, Taj just took his share of the money and left. Fine. I don't give two steaming shits if no one at Legacy Grove ever talks to me again. I know someone who is all ears when it comes to the kind of story I'm sitting on right now. My day was trashed from the get-go. I got to Cinnamon Sands a few minutes before the competition was supposed to start, but by then the parking lot was already full and I had to do a death march in the broiling hot sun. My shirt was soaked and I had rivers of sweat running down both sides of my face when I finally got to the competition site. The first thing I saw was some college dude giving Mandy a kiss for good luck. Really? She has a boyfriend? Good of her to let everyone know. The competition dragged on forever. I was looking forward to downing some Grey Goose when I got back to Legacy Grove. Taj was home, of course, since he has no life. Jeez, it's like Taj can't exist without Danica. What a girly mon. It was Dad's night for dinner. I ignored his smarmy small talk, wolfed down the steak he made in about four bites, and headed back to the shed. That's when I remembered the photo album, the one Blue had in her bag when she died. I had flipped through it before, but didn't really look at it too closely. All of the pics were of Juniper Hollow and the area outside the property. The more recent ones were taken by Moon. It was the shots of the pilings to the bridge that pinged in my head. Was that some sort of light? Or was it just a reflection of the sun? I looked through the next pages, more pictures of the pilings but taken from a different angle. If that glowing spot was from the sun, it wouldn't have shown up on both sides of the bridge. No, this was something different. Something not real. Since the silent treatment was the new norm around here, there was only one person I could ask about this. Boyd Fletcher. Had he seen these photos? I'm betting not. Otherwise, he would have said something. I texted the old cooter asking if I could come up on Sunday afternoon. Screw the party in the park. Dad and Moon would be there, so no thanks. Taj works at the pool on Sundays, so he was out, even if he wasn't treating me like I was a jackwipe. Boyd seemed stunned by the photos. I was sipping on a cup of Boyd's rocket fuel coffee, not that I needed to be any more amped. Too bad he didn't have any popovers to go with it. My bad for not giving him more notice. I seemed to be the one with all the treats today. It was obvious the pictures of the bridge were prickling Boyd's pecker. Do you see that glowing thing in the road? I asked. Duh. Why else would Boyd be so jaw-clenched? Boyd's hands were shaking when he handed the photo album back and said,
My Gertie died in the same spot as your stepmama, but that glowing thing ain't neither one of them.
Okay. This bit about both women dying in the same place was certainly news I could use. Besides being kind of shocked, I was also semi-mad. Maybe even a little afraid. Why hadn't Boyd told all this to the cops? Oh, wait, they should have already known. But of course they didn't. Why? Because that numbnuts, Deputy Kip Nichols, is the one they sent to investigate. Real nice. Kip walks around with a permanent rod stuck up his ass, looking to bust people for the stupidest things, All the while, he's stepping out on his wife and chasing after married women. I'm beginning to suspect the reason Blue is floating around smelling like a deviled egg after a month-long power outage is because she didn't have to die. Everyone has seen those shows about people who refuse to walk towards the light because they're a victim of Slaughterside. Blue may be trying to tell us who did it, but she keeps fading out, leaving nothing behind except nostrils scorched by her stink. Taj is the only one who agrees with my theory that some local Hannibal Lecter ran her off the road. What I couldn't understand was why Boyd was just now telling me the exact same thing happened to his wife.
In case you haven't noticed, you've been ghosted.
This is especially bad news if you're a ghost trapped at the Department of Motor Vehicles and the only way out is through the help of a snarky cat. Find out what happens next in Quirky Cat Gets Ghosted by Adele Park. This quirky audiobook is The Cat's Meow. Get Quirky Cat Gets Ghosted today on audible.com.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.